This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The arrest heard around the world. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The CFO of Chinese tech giant Huawei has been arrested in Canada and faces extradition to the United States. Meng Wanzhou is also the daughter of the founder of Huawei. Huawei is the biggest telecom equipment firm in the world. We don't know why Ms. Meng was arrested. She has asked for the details of the arrest to be sealed, according to Canadian authorities. But there is suspicion this could be related to violation of U.S. sanctions on Iran. This arrest happened the same day that Presidents Trump and Xi reached a temporary truce on trade at the G20 summit. China's protested the arrest. Karishma Vaswani is a BBC Asia business correspondent and joins us from Singapore. Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of people have pointed to this arrest and said that it could threaten the trade truce between China and the U.S. Why would the arrest of one person be so important?
Huawei is the crown jewel of Chinese tech, and in effect, Meng Wanzhou is effectively the princess of the Chinese tech industry. But even that aside, the symbolism and significance of this really can't be overstated.
After this news, we saw the stocks of chip makers in the U.S., Korea, Japan all fall from 3 to 5%. Why?
That's because the chip maker industry is so integrated, and they're so connected to one another. So the suggestion or the worry is that when Huawei gets hit, there will be a knock-on effect across and a ripple effect across the industry. And that's why you're seeing so many of the companies in this sector, in this space, getting affected. But it's not just that. The tech industry, chip stocks, are often a bellwether for how the markets and investors view the U.S.-China relationship.
You know, we have clues as to what this might be about, possibly related to Iran sanctions. But at the same time, we have countries like New Zealand, Australia blocking Huawei from supplying technology for data networks. British firm BT also did the same. What is the deal with Huawei?
That's a very good question. And privately, many Huawei executives have said to me, look, this is an unfair portrayal of Huawei, mainly by Western media and the U.S. government. But the fear and the suspicion is, and even though there's no evidence of this, it's because of the way China's laws are and how closely linked the Chinese government is and can be with big Chinese businesses. The fear is that there could be that possibility someday of a Chinese official turning over to a company like Huawei and saying, look, hand over your data. And for that reason, I think you're seeing a rising scrutiny of Huawei's operations in other countries, as well as rising fears and concerns over doing business with this company, even though there's no credible evidence at all at the moment to indicate that Huawei is anything but a global Chinese firm.
BBC Asia business correspondent Karishma Vaswani, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 2.4%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index down 2.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures all down in the 2% range, with the Dow future down 459 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.89%.
Marketplace goes beyond day-to-day business reporting to cover the big picture of the economy. We provide context and depth to connect the news to decisions that we all have to make, and we work very hard every day to ensure that our journalism is accurate and worthy of your trust. We don't do this work alone. We're counting on you to help. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount you choose, and your donation will go twice as far thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate today at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Many of the world's governments are not on board with the U.S. when it comes to Iran sanctions. These are the sanctions that were reimposed after President Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal over the objections of pretty much all the parties to it. The European Union says it's determined to defy these sanctions. It's pledging to protect European corporations that do business with Iran. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
The EU has two potential weapons it can wield against the US sanctions. The first is fairly blunt, says Agathe Demaret of the Economist Intelligence Unit. It's called the blocking regulation.
The blocking regulation, it would make it illegal for European companies to comply with US sanctions against Iran.
But the EU hasn't fully implemented the regulation, and she says it doesn't seem to be workable anyway.
Well, it would be extremely surprising to tell European companies that if they comply with US sanctions, they will be fined. That would be very surprising and a surprising way to protect companies.
The second weapon is more subtle. Next month, the EU unveils a new money transfer system. Sanam Vakil of the Chatham House think tank says it's designed to move money in and out of Iran without American scrutiny.
The intention is to create some economic independence for European companies so that they're not so vulnerable in the future.
But the U.S. Treasury will monitor this system closely, making it difficult for European multinationals to access it without Washington noticing. The commercial realities facing big European companies trump the EU's defiance.
These companies are not going to risk losing their American business and engaging in a legal battle that could then affect their revenue and their bottom line.
Which explains why Total, Siemens, and even Airbus have pulled out of Iran. Not everyone sees this as a slam dunk for the US, however. Hassan Hakimian of the London Middle Eastern Institute thinks the EU's new payment system is another small but clear sign of America's waning hegemony.
I think it's a reminder that, as some European leaders have said, they need to ensure that they do not continue to rely on the US in the years to come.
If China becomes involved, the EU's sanction-busting payment system, he says, could help undermine US domination of the world's financial system. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.